Hi, I'm Marnie Loyakhano-Mervis, and I am from the Bronx, the project director of the Bronx Youth as Partners in Community-Based Participatory Research Project at Albert Einstein College of Medicine. And I'm presenting on how a youth-led community-based participatory research partnership addressed mental health disparities from problem to program. So in developing programs in CBPR settings, it can be challenging, especially when your community is youth. And our teens were invited from multiple community-based organizations throughout the Bronx, who later actually became members of our coalition. And this project planning group of teens later came to call themselves Albert's Leaders of Tomorrow, or a lot. I'm sorry, I have to go to the slide. And they were made up of mostly teens, black and Latino teens in the Bronx, ages 13 to 19, and then a group of a few researchers, program specialists, and professionals who are in adolescent health. Highlighted as potential health disparities in Healthy People 2010, we researched sexual reproductive health, mental health, obesity, injury and violence, substance use, tobacco use, and asthma. And then when we looked at the actual data of these disparities, we learned that substance use, tobacco use, and asthma were not actual health disparities among Bronx, Black, and Latino teens. Out of the seven health disparities or health issues that we did look at, the teens chose mental health. And the reason they chose mental health was they went back and forth through debate and voting and consensus, and they finally came to the conclusion, even those who were kind of on the fence about different disparities, that mental health can be linked to all other health disparities or health problems. So, for example, if you have diabetes or if you are engaging in sexually risky behaviors or violence, somehow you could link it back to, if we address mental health, we can get at some of those other health disparities. They also chose mental health because of the stigma in the community. They distributed community surveys to their peers and family members and friends and found out that besides their own feelings about mental health and mental illness, that the community also felt the same way, and that they would quote unquote think that when you talked about mental health or mental illness, it was somebody who was homeless or retarded or crazy or institutionalized. All these names and labels came up for someone with mental health problems. There was little attention paid to it in the media. They felt that there were signs for HIV or domestic violence, but there were no advertisements or things on their subways or billboards or bus stops that talked about mental health and what that is and what it means. And the only real media advertisements they saw were commercials on TV for medications that were geared towards adults. So there was little they knew about it. They felt that you can't tell by looking at someone whether they have a mental health problem or not. And not that you can with a lot of other health problems, but in particular, they couldn't tell if their friend was depressed or was dealing with some anxiety issues. It was a silent illness or killer, they said. And then there's limited access and availability of appropriate services for youth. And within that, hours are during school hours. They're not after school or on weekends. There's long waiting lists. The costs are high when teens can't afford, adults can't afford them, let alone teens. And most of the services in general were not teen friendly. The ones that were available, they didn't know where they were. So there was no resource in the community that could tell them where to go or what to do. And they lacked trust in providers. Their typical history with any type of mental health professional was some type of mandated services. So we decided to focus on, like I said, mental health. And a lot came up with three specific principles. So the first was they wanted to see in an intervention or program for mental health or mental health disparities, they wanted to focus on positive mental health. And these were their words. They said, why can't we focus on positive mental health? Why do we always focus on when someone has something like bipolar disorder, or they started naming other disorders? Why can't we just focus on youth as a whole? And then they said, in addition to that, once we focus on youth as a whole, for those teens who do have, you know, different signs or symptoms or disorders, we can provide services for them where they are with people they know. And then lastly, their principle was that we can use youth teens as liaisons or ambassadors to other youth, so they can link other teens up with services and programs that teens would feel comfortable with because their friends or peers or older or younger siblings were familiar with them. So based on these three principles, we worked with a lot to develop the intervention. However, first we had to engage the youth in the actual process. So we just didn't go out, you know, with CBPR, we didn't go out and just design an intervention, but we worked with them hands-on on developing this intervention. And it was very important to provide a clear structure, clear purpose and goals with everything that we were doing, provide a strategy for reaching each of those goals, and then use outlines, handouts, forms, materials, different visual aids. We'd come up with an agenda each time we met with them. We made everything participatory, interactive, and experiential learning, appealing to all different learning styles, and we provided a good background on mental health and youth development for the youth that we worked with. In developing the intervention, there were also several key strategies that we used in working with the youth. We reviewed existing programs and activities, and we actually demonstrated each of the activities with the youth. So we would do the activity together, or we would do a session of a series of activities together, and then we would assess how each of those proposed activities promoted positive mental health and youth development. We would sit down with them, we'd go through checklists and look at different developmental assets and different skills and see how those activities actually, how they felt about them, but also whether it met their criteria that they wanted in the program. They filled out evaluation forms for each of the activities. They wrote written reviews through different journal entries and assignments, and we sat down and had group discussions each time about everything that we did. And then they collaborated with program specialists on this, on each of the curriculum topics and activities. So they told us the things that they really liked or needed or wanted in a program, but they also told us these are things that we really don't want. So our intervention has three components. It's called Bronx Thunder, first of all. They named it. And the first component is a curriculum, which focuses on our first principle, positive mental health and preventing mental health problems. The second component is one-on-one counseling component, which for those teens who are affected, provides services to them with people they know and where they are. And then lastly, an internship component where the youth get to be liaisons or ambassadors to their peers in their community. So the first component, curriculum, is a 14-session youth development program that promotes positive mental health and youth development. It gives strategies to manage, prevent, and reduce stress and skills in time management, goal setting, and coping. All things teens told us these are things that we want in a program. And we did different things like deep breathing and muscle relaxation techniques and a whole sort of things to look at their own coping, effective and healthy coping strategies versus those that were less effective or unhealthy. We build skills and competencies, so they learned communication skills, problem-solving skills, conflict resolution through different interactive styles. We did it with role plays and all different ways to engage them in learning these skills. And we also educated them about mental health and stigma, particularly for around statistics and signs and symptoms of teens in their communities. The second component is a one-on-one counseling component. So a mental health professional is one of the trainers in the program, one of the facilitators, and it's someone they know, which is something they asked for. It's located in their schools or community centers, so the program is run at their school, and the mental health professional is also there. They're free, there's no waiting list, and it's available to all teens who are in the Bronx Thunder program for those who may need, want, or be identified as needing additional support services. And the last component is the internship. So after the youth go through the training program, they get to take all the skills they've learned, and then they get to be put in the role as the peer educator, and they're teaching their peers, and they act as peer educators in their schools or community centers. They get to plan and facilitate brief workshops, which one of my colleagues will talk more about later. And in those workshops, they raise awareness of mental health stigma and discuss stress and coping. And they get to choose the different topics that they want to raise around mental health issues. Thank you. So lastly, this is currently a 5-year randomized controlled trial funded by the National Institute of Mental Health and Human Development. I'm sorry, Minority Health and Health Disparities. Thank you. It's currently being implemented in several Bronx schools and community centers, and a lot is continuing its work towards developing interventions to reduce mental health disparities among Black and Latino teens. In addition to that, we have a coalition of 60-something organizations that supports LOT's work, and we plan to apply for 3 more years of funding to disseminate the intervention throughout the Bronx community. So, thank you. My disclosure. And 2 minutes. So, if you want to learn more about our project besides asking us today, our website for our project is bronxyouth.org at the bottom there, and it'll explain a little bit more about our project.